Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The First Wave by Alex Kershaw is a narrative history of D-Day that centers on the men who landed first on the beaches of Normandy and opened the way for the Allied invasion of Nazi-occupied Europe. Rather than treating June 6, 1944 as a single sweeping event, the book follows a cross-section of soldiers, sailors, and small unit leaders who faced the most punishing minutes of the operation when plans collided with surf, smoke, steel, and confusion. Kershaw is known for character-driven military history, and here he uses individual experiences to illuminate how the invasion worked on the ground. From the chaos of landing craft and scattered units to improvised assaults on strong points and the hard push off the sand, the result is both an accessible introduction to D-Day and a focused study of courage, leadership, and decision-making under extreme pressure while keeping the broader strategic stakes in view. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the First Wave mattered and what it was asked to do. A central topic is the specific mission of the First Wave and why its success or failure shaped the entire invasion. The earliest assault troops had to land under direct fire, survive the initial shock, and accomplish tasks that later waves depended on, such as clearing exits, neutralizing defensive positions, and establishing a foothold deep enough to bring in armor, engineers, and supplies. The book highlights how D-Day was a chain reaction. Delays, losses, or mislandings in the opening minutes could ripple into congestion offshore, stalled movement on the beach, and exposed follow-on units. By focusing on the First Wave, Kershaw clarifies the difference between strategic planning and tactical reality. Amphibious landings required precise timing, navigation, and coordination among naval gunfire, air support, and infantry. Yet the surf, smoke, damaged landing craft, and broken communications often forced leaders to improvise. The narrative underscores the brutal arithmetic of the First Wave. They were the most vulnerable, the least able to retreat, and the most responsible for turning a deadly shoreline into a functioning entry point for an army. Understanding their role helps explain why individual actions by small groups could have outsized operational consequences. Secondly, leadership and initiative in the chaos of the beaches. Another major theme is how leadership functioned when plans unraveled. The book portrays combat leadership as something that often happened at the smallest level, a junior officer, a non-commissioned officer, or a determined private recognizing and opening and moving despite fear, exhaustion, and uncertainty. In the First Wave, units frequently landed in the wrong places, lost key personnel, or became mixed together with strangers. Kershaw emphasizes that formal command structures could be shattered within seconds, leaving success dependent on initiative, quick judgment, and the ability to persuade others to follow. The narrative shows how leaders used simple, practical methods to restore momentum, regrouping behind whatever cover existed, setting clear, immediate goals, and pushing toward terrain that offered a tactical advantage, such as a seawall breach, a shingle bank, or a path off the sand. The book also explores the psychological dimension of command, including how calm behavior and visible movement could counter paralysis. This topic illustrates a broader lesson about adaptability D-Day demanded leaders who could shift from rehearsed plans to opportunistic problem solving while still pursuing the larger mission. Thirdly, the human cost of amphibious assault and the ethics of endurance. Kershaw's focus on the First Wave naturally brings the reader close to the physical and emotional cost of the landings. This topic examines how the book conveys the intensity of exposure on open beaches, where men faced machine gun fire, artillery bursts, mines, and obstacles while carrying heavy loads and moving through water and sand. The first minutes were not only lethal but disorienting, with noise, smoke, and the sight of casualties challenging the ability to think and act. The story also addresses the grim logistics of survival, finding cover, treating wounds, conserving ammunition, and continuing forward even when medical help was limited. By concentrating on individual experiences, the book raises questions about what endurance looks like in extreme conditions and how soldiers maintained purpose amid fear. The narrative does not romanticize suffering, but it does show how comradeship and responsibility to the mission helped many keep moving. This theme is important because it frames D-Day not as an abstract turning point, but as a series of personal ordeals that collectively produced strategic change, reminding readers that victory carried a profound human price. Fourthly, coordination problems and the gap between planning and reality. A key topic is the friction inherent in a complex joint operation. The invasion required synchronization among naval forces, air power, engineers, and infantry, but the First Wave often encountered gaps between the intended sequence and what actually happened. Or, Kershaw explores how navigation errors, strong currents, and damaged craft could scatter landing teams. Bombardment and airstrikes might miss targets or fail to suppress defenses sufficiently, leaving assault troops to confront positions that remained operational. Communications failures meant that commanders had incomplete information, and officers on the beach frequently had to make decisions without knowing what had happened to adjacent units. The book illustrates how the battlefield punished rigid adherence to the plan and rewarded adaptation, including the rapid reallocation of effort toward the nearest viable exit or the exploitation of a breach created by chance. It also shows how engineers and specialists became essential in overcoming obstacles and opening routes for vehicles and reinforcements. This topic helps readers understand why D-Day cannot be explained solely through strategy maps. The outcome depended on countless micro-level interactions between planning assumptions and real-world conditions, and on the ability of the first wave to bridge that gap under fire. Lastly, from beachhead to breakthrough, how early actions shaped the campaign. The book connects the dramatic opening hours to the broader Normandy campaign by showing how the first wave set conditions for everything that followed. Establishing a viable beachhead was not simply a matter of surviving, it required pushing inland, securing routes, and creating enough space to land and organize additional forces. Kershaw's approach emphasizes causality: a cleared exit, a silenced gun position, or a successfully rallied group could enable armor to move, supplies to flow, and commanders to regain operational control. The topic also highlights how D-Day was a beginning rather than an endpoint. Even after the beaches were taken, the fighting continued through hedgerows, villages, and fortified points as the Allies expanded their hold in Normandy. By tracing the first wave's contribution, the narrative helps readers see the invasion as an interlocking system, where early tactical successes reduced vulnerability to counterattack and accelerated the buildup of combat power. The book also reinforces why D-Day became a strategic turning point. It opened a sustained Western front that forced Germany to fight on multiple axes. Understanding the first wave clarifies how decisive moments can be created by cumulative, gritty actions rather than a single dramatic stroke. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a vivid, human-centered account of D-Day rather than a purely technical study of orders of battle. Military history enthusiasts will appreciate the operational context, but the strongest appeal is to anyone interested in courage under pressure, the realities of small unit combat, and how large victories are built from individual decisions made in minutes. The first wave can benefit a reader's life by offering practical insight into resilience, adaptability, and leadership when conditions are chaotic and information is incomplete. It also encourages a deeper appreciation for the costs behind historic milestones, replacing distant symbolism with tangible responsibility and sacrifice. Compared with many D-Day books that focus mainly on high command or broad strategic narrative, Kershaw's emphasis on the first wave provides a sharper sense of immediacy and causation, showing how initiative at the lowest levels helped determine outcomes. The character-driven approach makes complex events easier to follow without reducing their seriousness. If you are choosing among similar World War II histories, this one is worth buying for its focused lens, momentum, and ability to connect personal experience to the success of an operation that helped reshape the modern world. If you would like to support Alex Kershaw, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.